You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news.
Welcome to the USEA official podcast. And my goodness, listeners, we are celebrating a US victory at Kentucky 3-Day Event. First of all, I'm going to say a very warm welcome to a lady who had a front row seat to it all week. Frankie Tyriot-Stute, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Nicole. What a week it was, for sure.
I feel like we are recording this. I'm going to set the scene for you, listeners. So we've sort of rolled from Kentucky into badminton. I'm in the Badminton Media Center at the end of Dressage Day 1. It is very quiet, listeners, but if you hear anything, that is why. And so five-star season is very much upon us. But I actually think it's really nice because we've had a couple of days for it all to sink in, kind of the reaction, the emotion of it all, which has been absolutely enormous. We're going to talk about the win, but I kind of want to take you back to the beginning of the week, Frankie, because there was so much hope and expectation for a US winner this year. What did it feel like going into the start of Kentucky Week 2023?
Yeah, actually, I mean, just at the horse park overall, it was really interesting because I have the pleasure for this Behind the Barn series we do now to be there quite early on in the week. So I was there from the Saturday prior, and it was funny because usually as all the riders come in, it gets just really hyped up and almost anxious feeling at the park. And this year in the barns, a lot of riders were remarking to each other that it just felt really calm this year, and everybody kind of felt like secure in the job that they had to do. And there was definitely a lot of excitement and a lot of hype that this could be the year that we saw a U.S. winner. I think with the Ecker ratings prediction that it was going to be Tammy, and still some really big heavy hitters from the U.S. this year. And, you know, obviously mixed in with some big names from overseas as well, but there was just a feeling at the park that's hard to put into words all week long, and it was kind of a calm that you knew somehow it was all going to come to fruition finally for the US, and it did.
It absolutely did. I love that there was such a calm feeling around the place, because there's nothing quite like the five-star feeling, is there? There's normally this sort of nervous anticipation. Everybody's a little bit tense. There's a few people walking around looking a bit green about the gills. But the fact that it sounds like it almost was sort of written in the stars, looking back, that actually, you know, we were on the cusp of a great week for US eventing. Can I ask you about your Behind the Barn series? Because there were some brilliant videos, but I have to admit, one of my favorites was Boyd Martin.
I mean, that was, if you haven't had a chance to take a look at those, I will say those were my favorite this year of the ones we've done. We decided to have a bit more fun with it and really let people get to know how funny and, you know, the true personalities of some of these riders. And so, you know, for some of the episodes we did, like the Boyd Martin one you're talking about, we did, you know, some questions no one would ask about Boyd. Like if Boyd Martin wasn't an equestrian, what would he be? But we asked his peers. So we asked 10 or so riders. And then at the end, Boyd answered the question. And I have to say, Philip Dutton is absolutely getting hilarious. He's older, he's so funny now. And his answers were so funny. I mean, he said, you know, with a very straight face, Boyd would be, he'd be a criminal. He'd be in prison, I think, yeah. Or, you know, things like, you get two riders that are here at Kentucky for your team at the Hunger Games. And the answers were hilarious. I mean, Will Coleman said, he said, I want Liz. And actually, I just need Liz. Give that girl a spear and that's all I need. And we did things like describe Tammy Smith in one word, and we had the riders give a prediction for the week, and they were just really lighthearted and funny. And these riders are such unique personalities, all of them, and in our sport as a whole, we're really fortunate to be really almost like a traveling circus family, right? And Yaz did them, and that was really fun. And you know, I think just overall, it was a lot of fun, and the riders seemed to get a good laugh early in the week, and people seemed to really like to get to know the riders more off of their horses and each other and how they kind of gel.
I loved it, particularly because not only do you find out more about the person that you were sort of talking about, but actually you got a real insight into their relationship with that other person as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, there were some very amazing ones, listeners. Go and have a look if you haven't already seen them. Let's talk dressage day. Two dressage days, I should say, because actually, as expected, both of the British sort of top two as such, in Yazingham, who was second last year in Kentucky, and obviously the world champion, and Tom McEwen, JL Dublin, who was also, you know, one of the favourites coming into the competition, absolutely laid it down in the first phase, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they really delivered. I mean, you really felt like, wow, you know, they came to do the job, and they definitely did that. And I know, you know, Tammy Smith sat third, but I think she was a bit disappointed in her score, you know, and she's been doing a lot of pure dressage with that horse. And I think that it was kind of good that she went on Thursday, because it gave her an extra day to kind of move on from that a bit and look at what was next. And, you know, in addition to those amazing dressage tests put forth, which were absolutely brilliant, I think the other thing that was really exciting to see was even that four-star division that, honestly, Nicole, in the past has always felt like it didn't really have a home there, and you almost felt like it was this kind of odd add-on. And this year, I will say, it didn't feel like that anymore. It felt like a very exciting addition to the competition. We got to see some really exciting young up-and-coming horses for the U.S., for Canada, and I think that that's a really amazing new piece of Kentucky as well now. So it was fun to get to see some really beautiful dressage there as well.
It's really interesting, isn't it? You know, the introduction of that four-star division. I think this is only the third time that the four-star has won. You know, and it takes a little bit of bedding in, and it takes a bit of getting your head around the schedule and all of those sorts of things. But actually, the platform it gives to some younger horses, and also some pretty experienced combinations who were in the field this year, to kind of get the mileage at some of these really, really big events. There aren't that many opportunities for them to compete in front of a crowd in a stadium like Kentucky.
Yeah, and I think just also, you know, like you said, as a great prep for what's to come in the summer, I mean, what a great place to get to take a horse that is proven and is going, you know, getting ready to go overseas, or to take a young horse that is really on the brink of something big. And what I think is exciting is I think that, you know, a potential Kentucky winner in the future could have been seen there this weekend. I mean, I think that to me is really exciting when you look at it from that standpoint. But it was certainly the first year, at least from my standpoint, it didn't feel like an add-on. It felt like a part of the competition that deserved to be there.
I absolutely agree. And I think it was a pretty exciting competition in its own right as well. Going back to the five-star dressage, you mentioned Tammy possibly a little bit disappointed with her score. She still got a 24.2, and actually she was third on the leaderboard going into cross-country. She obviously led on the final day going into the jumping, which is a whole different world of pressure. But in a way, do you think that almost lit even more of a fire under her for cross country day?
I don't think it really had to do with cross country day once she kind of acknowledged what happened. But, you know, Tammy is, it's funny because she's so competitive, but truly, I think where she's different from a lot of other people is she's not necessarily competitive with other people. She's so competitive with herself. And I think where she might have been, you know, elated to be in the thick of it still, for her, I think she felt like she's capable of better than a 24. And the competitiveness of her comes from against herself. And you'll see that all the time. I mean, we see that a lot on the West Coast with her, where she'll be leading a division and then have another horse that could beat herself, and she comes out fully swinging because she wants every time she steps into any ring to deliver the best she can. And I think that she was thrilled with Lexus, but that she felt maybe the score didn't fully reflect their performance and that there were some takeaways for her. And, you know, she's always going to be her biggest critic. So I don't think it led to the cross country portion. I think that was a very difficult track with a lot that came at those horses, and we saw one of the most kind of strange overall days of cross country I've ever seen at a 5-star. But there was a lot of work to do, and I think once she got to that part of the competition, you know, dressage was well behind her.
Let me ask you about the cross country, because the feeling of a 5-star cross country, you know, there's not that many of them in the world, and actually that you always walk them and they always look big, they always look technical. Of course they do, they're 5-star, they're the pinnacle of the sport. What was the feeling in the barn over Derek de Grazia's cross country track?
Yeah, I think the feeling was like at any 5-star that there was a lot to do, and that this year overall it came at you early, and that's kind of what riders were saying, that it came at you early, that the time was going to be really hard to get, and it proved true. You know, I think three of the double clean rounds we saw during the hold, which was a whole, you know, interesting part of the sport, but situation in itself. And I think that that was in some part, in my opinion, due to the fact that those horses were able to catch their breath, because it was definitely a course that was very, very demanding from a physical standpoint of stamina, and a course that, I mean, it was everything they had in their tank. It was one of the longest 5-stars I've ever seen, almost 11 and a half minutes in length. And it was demanding the whole way home.
What about cross country day? So it was a very influential cross country test. And actually, looking at the stats post event, I think Derek did a brilliant job. And I know we spoke about it a little bit on the Equa Ratings Eventing Podcast review show of Kentucky. He nailed where 5-star is usually around that sort of 50% clear mark. You know, that is normal for 5-star. But there were lots of places, and we saw it to great effect, including with Yaz Ingham and Banzai de Loire, where you could just pick up a 20 penalties when you're least expecting it.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a wizard. You know, that guy is so amazing at what he does. And another factor, I think, you know, overall that day, I think riders were really excited, one, about the ground, because we got just enough rain that the ground was quite great. But, you know, this year more than ever, I saw a lot of riders at the finish that looked mentally themselves exhausted. And I think that if you asked all the riders, they would agree with that, that this course, the way he roped it, everything that he does is so, you know, down to the finite detail and strategic. And I saw a lot of riders coming home that they had worked for every single thing that had happened out there. And I think that was unanimous across the board too. And, you know, it was a course that really required, even as much as any 5-star, you know, it required mentally you to be right there. The crowds, there were more spectators than they've ever had lining all the ropes. And, you know, I think the ropes play a factor too in trying to hit your lines and get your minutes when you're trying to get the time. And that also really seemed to bring people home like fairly mentally exhausted as well, in addition to having just been out there, you know, 11 and a half plus.
What about Tammy's cross-country round? Let's talk about that, because actually, I mean, that was something pretty special, and they had to dig a little bit deeper at the end, but Lexus was all heart. And I think actually, you know, you rewind the clock of the last couple of years with his badminton 5-star run last year. And, you know, the tough days almost felt like actually he used those, he drew upon those and was just brilliant.
Well, I will say, you know, I think the part she did carry with her to the box this year was that pin that she had at Kentucky a couple of years ago, and she did not want that to happen again. You know, it's easy to kind of forget in what's gone on the last few years, but that pin kept her from a top three finish at Kentucky last time. And I can guarantee you that was on her mind as she made her way to the box this year. And, you know, their partnership, it's just so magical. It gives you goosebumps, because it's something where he's a horse that the whole world has kind of known he was that spectacular for so long, but it hasn't come to fruition at the exact moment. And it did this week, and how spectacular it was. And to me, the most amazing, memorable part about their cross country was really that it demonstrated their partnership, and a true partnership, and what that looks like after all their years together. Because there were parts of the course where you looked and you know, he looked really tired for a second and she dug in and got him through. And there were parts where, you know, when she came home, she's like, man, I'm flat out. Like, everything I had in my tank. She never says. She actually laid on the ground at the finish, like laid there on the ground. And she started taking off her boots and Heather, her best friend, and I said, you can't take your boots off. We don't have shoes for you here. But she was properly tired too, you know, and they both just dug in for each other. And to me, and the way he jumped at the end and he got a second wind, and the way she carried him through the part where he was a little more tired, you know, it just was the most incredible example you could find of a true partnership and what this sport is all about. And as riders, we're not going to be perfect all the time. As horses, you're not going to be perfect all the time. But if you have a partnership like that, you can do anything's possible. And it was. And it really, I think it showed that.
Yeah, very well said. It is all about the partnership. And I think they were exact example of a partnership this weekend. Who else for you stood out on Cross Country Day?
Yeah, I think, you know, Liz and Mixmaster C, for me, that really stood out. You know, they gave her a flag initially, but it definitely wasn't and took it away. So I think that kind of, you know, made people not look at that round as much for a second. But that's a pretty unbelievable horse out there, first five star. I mean, wow. I think that's really one that should be on everyone's radar for good reason. And Liz did a great job. And to me, another one cross country that I have to say really stood out was Jenny Branigan. I mean, you talk about some girl power in this country, and I think the girls are coming for them. And that girl, I mean, you know, Stella Artois unfortunately had an injury too from home, but they were going to jump clean and they'd had a beautiful round. And Jenny, and just beautiful. I mean, she piloted 3 5-star horses just absolutely magically around that track on a day where it wasn't easy to do that. And so to me, her riding really stood out.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was actually going to ask you about Jenny, because I think she was one of my takeaways for the weekend. Not only did she show, you know, incredible horsemanship, but all of her horses look to be going brilliantly. And actually then to come out of the start box, having had, you know, things not go well with Stella Artois, and that worry and that concern, and it's a really quick turnaround. To get your head in the game is some serious mental strength.
I mean, I have to say, like, my hat's off to her. I don't think she's ever riding better. And as you said, I mean, to quickly switch gears that fast, it was very fast. I mean, from the time she helped, you know, get off of Stella and helped her get care until she was on the next horse was not long. And, you know, it's a credit also to her team, but really to Jenny. And I think she showed that she's serious and she means business for the future, but also that she's doing a wonderful job producing these horses, because those were also 3 horses she's produced the whole way through.
Yeah, absolutely. Brought them up through the levels. Yeah. Okay. Overnight, going into show jumping, Tammy Smith, top of the leaderboard. What was the feeling like in her camp on Saturday evening?
Yeah, I mean, he looked so great and he kind of came out of cross country so great. And Lexus is such a funny horse. I mean, over to the barn and he's standing there a few hours later with his ears touching in his stall, just like, did you guys see that everybody looks at me and I'm so beautiful? I did so great today. And he's just he loves pictures taken of him and attention, and so it was really, I mean, incredible. And he's so funny from that standpoint. But you know, Tammy's team also, man, they had their hands full just with all the horses and everything going on, and they did a great job. And I think the feeling overall was that, like, this is going to happen. You know what I mean? That this is really possible. And I think on Cross Country Day, it was such an odd circumstance of things that it all just seemed so meant to be that an American won this year, because, you know, my heart went out to Yaz. She's so wonderful. And, you know, to get held at the start for that long, I think was really difficult, to be honest. And you didn't kind of want to be in her shoes at that moment. And who knows? I mean, I don't know. I think more than anything, maybe it took Bonsai's focus off for just a second and they were ready to leave the box and then to have to restart. So, you know, I'm jumping around a bit, but I think the point is after kind of things unfolded and Tom had some time and things just went how they did on Saturday, you almost felt like this has to happen now. This is happening.
You go into to show jumping day and sometimes, you know, the story of a five star, the script is not straightforward, is it? You know, there are twists and turns and it can't go to plan for everybody. I have to be totally honest. Obviously, I would have dearly loved any British rider to win, but I'm a big fan of Yaz, of Tom and everything else. But right from the get-go this year, I was really rooting for Tammy as an American winner. And going into that final day, you know, the last time an American rider led going into the final day in Kentucky in the five star was actually 2008, which was Rebecca Holder, Courageous Comet. So they didn't even go on to win that year. That was the year that Philip Dutton and Connaught won. Show jumping as it progressed, frankly, I was going to say there were plenty of clear rounds. Now, actually, I think normally you get about a 20% clear rate at cross country in the show jumping. So that's what, one in five. And there were plenty fairly early on. For me, that almost ramped the pressure up even more because then there's this expectation of jumping clear, isn't there? Then there's this sort of, I guess, pressure cooker that you know any mistake is going to be so costly because there's no movement on the leaderboard. What was it like watching on that final show jumping phase?
I mean, I will say I was really surprised at how many clear rounds there were as well, you know, and Tammy had her longtime show jumping coach, Scott Keach, there. You know, Robin Fisher came with her early in the week for dressage and Eric Duvander. Like, she just had her whole team, you know, and Scott was there. And I heard him after the show jumping the night before say to her, like, this is your moment to see if you're great. And, you know, we know you're good, but are you great? And when the pressure's on, can you deliver? And I thought, huh, like, you know, how interesting. And as the division went on and as things went, I've never really seen her be nervous. And she came up and I gave her a hug and she said, I'm so nervous. And I said, you can do this. Go over and sit there and pull yourself together. And I took her over into the grass and it was like, this is yours. This is your moment. Go and take it because you've worked so hard and so long through so much for it. So go and make it yours. And I think if anything, what, you know, not as much the pressure on the day got to her for that for a split second, but what happened in Petone, because, you know, having two rails in Petone was so uncharacteristic of their partnership. And I think that there was a little bit of her that maybe for just a second was like, well, that could happen. Could something happen today? But it was pretty amazing. I mean, everyone just seemed so much rooting for her in the moment, you know, even the amazing Brits, everyone, you know, in the whole stadium. And, you know, partly because it was an American, she had a really big West Coast contingent, very heavily rooting. And I think, you know, a woman and also someone who didn't take a traditional path in the sport, but has worked really, really hard. And so on Sunday, it was just, you know, it's going to happen and it has to, the cards just have to fall.
Tammy's story is, I think, one of my favorite in the sport of eventing. You know, there's so many different cool angles in ways in which people have come into the sport. The likes of Janelle Price didn't come from a horsey background. You know, there's some really fun, interesting, different stories out there. But Tammy's, to me, is a story of grit, determination, strength of character, a lot of blood, sweat and tears for mothers everywhere, let alone elite sports people. Yeah. I think she is an absolute inspiration. I think actually her victory here this weekend meant so much more to obviously her team, but actually other people who followed her journey as well, because she's the poster of it can be done. You've just got to work hard enough. You've got to keep trying, keep putting yourself in that situation. And she was just unbelievably impressive in all three phases. You know her really well, Frankie.
you've been great friends for many years. You've both gone through the highs and the lows of the sport with each other. What would a win like this at Kentucky mean to her?
I mean, I don't even think, you know, it seems real to her yet. I've talked to her a few times since it happened, and it's just like absolute shock still, I think, at this point. You know, that it's one of those things that you work so hard, and Tammy didn't even do that for levels till she was a lot older either, you know. And I think that when you win like this, people kind of, some people don't know the whole story, and they don't know that, you know, even in the process, even in the lead up, there are days when people like Tammy, even her, who's one of the best in the world, we can really say with confidence now, have days where they're tired, where they don't want to have to work hard. And I think what makes Tammy such an unbelievable champion is she does no matter what, you know. On the days you're tired, you pull yourself together and you work harder, because it's all for a moment like this. And so I think overall for her and for the Aherns, who just, and Markell's, who's just supported her tirelessly, and for her team, I think for her it means that all the sacrifices she's made are worth it. And I think that that's what Kentucky probably, when she looks back, in part of it will mean, you know, that all the days that felt so hard, and, you know, working a desk job and having her daughter as a young mom at 18, and you know, her husband really manning the sport at home, and Dave and her great team, that like all the times that you've missed out on something, right, because you've got to go to a horse show or all these things, that those moments were all worth it, and that they were for a reason.
I think we could all apply the line, be more Tammy in our lives. We could all learn something. We could all be a little bit more Tammy in our lives. Just an incredible inspiration. In terms of a couple of the other top place finishes, Tom McHugh and Jael Dublin looks like an absolutely class combination throughout. Yeah, I mean, a relatively new partnership.
I mean, wow, you know, and you got to tip your hat to Nicola, and he was doing that all week. But I mean, what a phenomenal horse that's been phenomenally produced. And you know, I think a few of the younger horses in the crowd we saw this year, it was a really physically demanding course. And, you know, Jael Dublin's one of those. The time was hard to get. I think Chintonic actually is one that is going to have grown up and kind of become a man from this experience, and some others in the field. But I think, wow, like some really great performances. And then Liz, too. I mean, she showed them beautifully on all her horses, and I think that girl wants to wear a peak coat really badly, and I think she's going to, and she rode phenomenally as well.
How exciting for Liz and Mixmaster C for the US team going into Paris. He's a younger horse, you know, he's still got plenty of years of his career ahead of him. I think he's 11 at the moment, so he'll be 12 next year in Paris. Very, very exciting. Yeah. Just a few seconds over the time cross country, and brilliant. I think the best 5-star performance I've seen from Liz, to be honest. I was very impressed. Sandra Allforth, actually.
Absolutely. And Maya Black produced that horse, you know, so well, and Liz got the ride, and it's a beautiful horse. I mean, that horse, it seems so mature in itself, but it's a young horse, you know. I think that's a horse we're going to see for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Sandra Allforth, Viamant Dumas were brilliant. They also finished on their dressage score just outside the top three, a former world champion as well. Sandra, brilliant to see her take her Olympic horse over to Kentucky. Philip Dutton and Z. I mean, Z is just such a legend. It's his 8th 5-star, his 8th 5-star clear cross country round. Yeah. Philip Dutton just gets better and better.
Like, it's funny because you almost overlook it now because you just expect him to be clear. And he just, every single time, it's absolutely unbelievable, and he's absolutely amazing. I mean, I think that we need to soak up every round of Phillips, because he's truly, I mean, he's a legend in so many ways, but he just seems to somehow get better, and he's such a student of the sport still, which is funny to say about somebody like Phillip, but, you know, he works so hard, and he's just so amazing at what he does, that, you know, more power to him. It's just so fun to watch. And Sandra as well. I was so excited to see her come this year, and we need more people like her to come over. And she's just, you know, I think it got overlooked a little bit because of everything going on from the American side of things. But man, like, talk about somebody who's just going in to deliver every single time. Like, her rounds were beautiful, and what an unbelievable addition this year.
I agree completely. I have to say, two more shout outs for me. Doug Payne, Quantum Leap, top 10 again at five starts. So, so consistent. Will Coleman again, two inside the top 12 for him. Very, very impressive. There are plenty of others we could talk about. I'm going to finish, I think, with my moment of the whole weekend, which was, and Frankie, you'll attest to this, when Tammy cleared the last, came through the finish, and she dropped her reins and was cheering, and she knew she'd won, and she did a lap of honour in front of the crowd who went absolutely bonkers. And my bomb, Lexus, who is, we've already said, one of the most beautiful horses on the circuit. Yeah. He's so eye-catching. But he pricked his ears, and he was the absolute epitome of a horse who loved his job. Yeah. He knew he'd done brilliantly, and he soaked up every little bit of that atmosphere. And I think it was just one of my favorite moments of the whole week.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it was so nerve-wracking down to the last jump. And somewhere I saw a picture of her face over the last fence. As soon as they're airborne, they're not over the fence, but you could tell she knew that she'd done it. And what a spectacular moment. I think it didn't hit home for a while. I still think it hasn't for her. Lexus made it back to California. Got a big field in a nice vacation, but I think he probably stands like that even in his field. He's such a horse that's so proud of work and loves his job, but equally just loves the spotlight, you know. And so it was pretty spectacular for a horse like that that's meant so much to this country time and time again. I think now to have a moment where everyone got to applaud him, because he certainly viewed it that way to the world.
I tell you what, he probably thinks, you never know who's watching when he's in our field at home. He says, well, just in case there's a camera over there. Frankie, thank you so much. It has been lovely looking back on what was the most brilliant week at Landover, Kentucky with you. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing it with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Have a great week over there. I'm so jealous. it's going to be fun to watch you guys from afar and be all these other amazing rising stars and proven partnerships and what they're able to do this week there.
Love five star season. Listeners, I hope you've enjoyed an insight into what it was like behind the scenes at Kentucky this week, and also just relived what was an incredible, incredible week of sport, and just the fairy tale victory that we were all hoping for. We will be back in a couple of weeks' time with another episode on the USCA official podcast, so do stay tuned. But for now, go and enjoy another five-star. Badminton is in full swing. Well, in fact, by the time this show goes out, actually, listeners, badminton will have finished. So you'll have gone through the badminton drama, and you can relive the Kentucky drama as well. So look, enjoy it, and we'll be back soon with more. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the USCA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.